I want to pick up reading in Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. It says that one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came up on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now, Jesus and his disciples are suddenly caught in a storm. If you ever travel to the Holy Lands, and particularly to Israel, no doubt one of your stops will be the Sea of Galilee. It's actually a lake. And out on the sea, out on the lake there, the guides will stop the boat and will explain a little bit about the topography around that part of Israel. And they will explain that there are certain meteorological conditions that cause storms to suddenly and abruptly to come upon the lake. And that is exactly what the disciples of Jesus experienced on the lake on this occasion. Luke says in verse 23, a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Now, this account, this incident is recorded by all three of the synoptic gospels. In fact, Matthew says that without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. And Mark says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, you get the picture. But maybe if you're still having trouble visualizing it, perhaps you can visualize it in these terms. How many of you have ever been on a whitewater rafting trip? You've ever been to Colorado, New Mexico, or other parts of the country? You've been on a whitewater rafting trip, sort of like this, where they have companies that take you on these expeditions down a raging river, and you go through various stages and phases of rafting and some very, very treacherous rapids. And oftentimes what they will do is that they will have a photographer perched in a particular place, and they will take snapshots of people as they're coming down the rapids, particularly in a very frightening part. And like you can see there, the pictures of these boys, they're all, you know, trying to be men, you know, trying to be tough, but, you know, they just can't hold it in. They're absolutely terrified. But what you can't see in this picture is the man holding the oars, and typically he's going to be the one who has this calm resolve on his face as he's leading them down the rapids. And it must have been something like that for the disciples of Jesus. The fact is that storms are going to come for every one of us. We're all going to encounter storms in our personal lives, in our families. We're going to go through times, and they come upon us abruptly and suddenly without warning, and we're going to experience those. And I have to confess to you that as I think about all that's happening, particularly this past week in our nation, and just one wave of bad news after another this week related to issues, moral issues, that are at the very core and the foundation of the truth of God. And on each one of these things, our nation has landed on the wrong side. And it's just like one wave, one storm after another. And I have to confess to you that I feel that my family and my church is just in this boat in the midst of a great storm. But I'm so thankful today to be able to stand here and talk to you about a strong Savior for the storms of life, whatever they may be. And this experience for Jesus and his disciples was not a pleasure cruise. It was not a whitewater rafting trip that they paid for just to have fun. This was serious business. And today we need to know that as we go through the storms of life, that we have a strong Savior for those serious storms. Now, just imagine, if you will, that maybe there was a camera perched on top of the boat, and it is watching, it is taking pictures, snapshots of all that is going on in the people in the boat as they go through this storm. And just imagine that the disciples could go up after they landed on the other side, could go up to a little kiosk there, and there was a place where they had all these pictures displayed, and they could buy a picture, a snapshot of what their faces looked like as they went through the storm. Well, let's just imagine that that's exactly what the Scripture does. The gospel writers give us this snapshot of what is going on in the lives of the people in the boat in the midst of the storm. And if we had such a photo, and we do in Scripture, we see, first of all, a secure Savior. We start there, a secure Savior. And what do we learn about him here in these brief verses? We learn, first of all, that he is on a mission. And I encourage you to jot that down. We learn, first of all, that Jesus is on a mission. All of this happens to him and to his followers in the course of his carrying out the mission that his Father had given to him. They were not on a pleasure cruise. And, you know, I couldn't help but thinking about the people who were on that Carnival cruise out in the Gulf of Mexico earlier this year, you know, when the ship caught on fire and the engines stopped. And so for days and days, this cruise ship that people spent hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars to go on, now they're drifting out in the Gulf of Mexico. There's no air conditioning. There's no fresh water. They're lacking food. And there's no power. I mean, what a pleasure cruise. And I mean, their pleasure cruise turned into a nightmare. Well, you need to know that this was no pleasure cruise for Jesus and his disciples. He led them on a mission. He himself was on a mission, and he invited them to join him in the midst of that mission. Notice it says in verse 22 that one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So the very fact that they are in that boat with Jesus on this particular day, at this particular time, when the storm comes up, they're in the midst of being on mission with Jesus. And that's important for us to know, because we need to know that obedience to Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to be spared from storms. You need to know that. That obedience to Jesus and following Jesus does not exempt us from the storms of life. We're going to go through them just like anyone else. And so where are they going here? Well, if you look down to verse 26, I didn't read this verse earlier, but you notice this is where they're heading. Jesus is on a mission. It says in verse 26 that they sail to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. Now, you may remember from other times that you've studied the New Testament that the region of the Gerasenes is an area that was particularly ripe with demonic oppression. And what's going to happen here is that Jesus is going to go head-to-head with the forces of darkness. And he's going to exercise one of the most dramatic displays of divine power when he confronts a demonic spirit there. And it's a very spectacular display of the power of God. And so Jesus' followers are following him here on mission. And they are on their way to this encounter with a demonic spirit. You know, I read these verses and I have to wonder, did Satan have his finger in this storm? If for nothing else, to distract and to discourage the disciples from the mission that he knew was about to take place. You know, sometimes when you're about God's work and you're doing what you know to be right, those are the times that you experience the most storms. And oftentimes that is true because Satan knows that God is up to something great in your life and through your life. And so these storms sometimes come. God allows them, but Satan has his finger in there to discourage and distract. And so the snapshot of Jesus shows our Savior on mission and followers with him on mission. The next thing we see about our Savior is that he is at peace in the storm. He's not only on a mission, but he's also at peace in the storm. It says that as they set sail, Jesus immediately fell asleep. Mark says in Mark 4:38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Now, the stern of the boat is the back of the boat. And so Jesus immediately falls off to sleep. And I'm sure that the disciples, when the storm begins, I'm sure the disciples are wondering, how could Jesus sleep at a time like this? But you need to know that this is not the sleep of complacency. You know, sometimes people sleep to escape. But Jesus is not doing that. This is the sleep of peace. He was able to rest because he knew that his Father was going to take care of everything. He knew that he had the power to face whatever was going to come his way. And it's the peace that the psalmist spoke about in Psalm 4:8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I love that. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Wouldn't you like to sleep like that? To just put your head on the pillow at the end of the day, and rather than your mind just racing with all kinds of fears and worries and concerns, to just be at peace. Well, Jesus possessed this peace. And he could sleep in the middle of the storm because he knew that he had power over the storm, and he knew that his Father was going to watch over him. And that leads me to the next thing we see about our Savior as we're watching him in the boat during this storm. The next thing we see is that he's in control of the circumstances. He's in control of the circumstances. Verse 24 says, he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. That's how powerful he is. That's how in control of circumstances he is. Whether the storm is raging or not, he has the power to do it all. We didn't know this about our Lord. He has the power to do anything he wants to do. He can calm any storm. There's no storm that is beyond his power. The Bible says that everything in the universe was created through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing was made apart from him. And so he who created all of this did not create something that was beyond his control. And so he controls all of the elements of nature. And his sovereignty and his providence spans even beyond nature to the events of men and the course of human history. He's in charge. And I know that there are times that we feel like when we're going through storms that that everything is completely out of control. But dear child of God, you need to know that as you're going through the storms of life, Jesus is in control. You can rest assured in that. Look to him. So this picture reveals something about our secure, confident Savior. But also this picture, this snapshot, reveals some anxious disciples. It was like that picture of the whitewater rafting earlier, these guys, these frantic looks on their faces. That's exactly what you would have seen as these disciples were going through this storm. And if you can just put yourself in their shoes or in their sandals, if you will, you can just imagine what it was like for them to be in. And we're not talking here about a cruise ship. Again, when we go to Israel, we get to ride on one of these ships and see an ancient replica of one of these ancient boats. They're not that big. Maybe not much longer than this pew here. It's out there in the middle of the storm. And what do we see? First of all, we see that they were fearful. They were fearful. You see, Jesus was at peace, but they were in a panic. Luke says that they were in great danger. And that's the natural human response, initially anyway, that when we are faced with danger, we oftentimes will feel fear. Now remember that the storm came up suddenly. The text makes that very clear. And that happens to us sometimes. These storms can come on us so abruptly and so quickly that it catches us off guard. All it takes is a phone call from the doctor to say that the test reports were not good. All it takes is an email from your employer saying your job is terminated. All it takes is that dreaded phone call in the middle of the night saying your loved one is gone. Friends, storms can come on us quickly and abruptly, and that's why they create fear in our hearts. Came out of nowhere. And you know, things that surprise us often reveal really what is really in our hearts. And you know, sometimes when you scare somebody, you jump up behind them, sneak up behind them and scare them, something may come out of their mouths that they might not have said if they'd have had time to think about it, because it was in their heart. And when trials and storms come on us quickly, they reveal what's in our hearts. And how quickly does it take us when the storms come? How quickly do we run to Jesus? How quickly do we turn to Him? So they were fearful, but also we learned that they were forgetful. They were forgetful. You see, these disciples, they throw up panic prayers. And we know about panic praying, don't we? Well, when we face these storms, we just cry out to God as the disciples did. In Luke 8, 24, the disciples went and woke Him and said, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Now, the statement, "We are going to drown," might have been true if Jesus had not been in the boat. Those words are true if the Son of God is not in the boat with you. But you see, they were forgetful of who this one was. In fact, their own language betrays them. Notice they say, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." I'm sure Jesus must have chuckled at this. You call me Master, and yet you're still thinking you're going to drown? Stop to think about it. If you just go back and look over the previous chapters here in Luke chapter, in the Gospel of Luke, what you see are repeated references to the power of Jesus. We see Him healing sick people. We see Him driving out demons. We see Him making paralyzed people to walk again. We even see Jesus raising a dead man. And so the disciples are here in the midst of this storm, and they say, "Jesus, we're going to drown." How easily we forget the things that we know to be true about Jesus. You see, that is what faith is. It is being reminded of what is true and living in the reality of the truth of who Jesus is and what He has the power to do. Now, ideally, they should have taken their cue from Jesus. I mean, the storm is going on. Jesus is asleep. They must have looked at that, and they should have looked at that and thought, you know, everything's fine. If Jesus is not up, then it must be fine. But they didn't. And you see, one of the great panic preventers in the midst of storms is to keep your eyes on Jesus. If they would have just looked at Jesus and saw His peaceful sleep, they would have been reassured. So they were fearful, they were forgetful, but also they were doubtful. When the disciples said in Luke 8, 24, "We are going to drown," there's more to it than just that, because Mark adds this to the details. Mark says the disciples woke up and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" And you see, that gets right to the heart. When we're real honest, when we're going through the storms of life, we often wonder, "God, do you even care about me? Am I going through these storms because you've just taken your hand off of me and you don't care anymore?" I want to say to you today that it is common for us to doubt the love of God when we go through storms. And we wonder, "God, do you Do you care? Are you concerned about what I'm going through? But I wanted to share with you today that no matter what is happening, there's one thing that is constant in every storm, and that is the love of God. That's the one thing that is constant. God may be doing 1,000 different things through that storm, but one thing is constant, and you should never doubt His love. But the disciples did. They said, "Master, don't you care that we are drowning?" So what is Jesus up to in this? Well, it comes down to verse 25. This is what this whole episode is about. This is why it happens. Because Jesus asked the question, after He's calmed the storm, after everything has settled down, He looks at His disciples and He says in verse 25, "Where is your faith?" That's the big issue in the storm. Where is your faith? I think it's interesting the way Jesus asked that question. He uses a word there, where. He's asking for a location. Where have you placed your faith? Are you trusting yourself? Are you trusting someone else? Or are you trusting Me? Where is your faith? And friend, that is the issue. That's the thing that God is getting at in every storm that you face. A few months ago, a young lady came to my office to inform me that her fiancé had broken off their engagement. And this young lady was just absolutely crushed and brokenhearted. And she was just weeping. I was to perform their wedding ceremony, and she wanted to come by and tell me personally that the wedding was off. And I just felt so burdened for this young lady. She was so brokenhearted. And yet her faith emerged in the midst of all of that, and she started telling me about a song that had sustained her as she had gone through this heartbreaking experience. And she quoted just a few lines, and I was so intrigued by it, I went up and looked up the entire song, all the lyrics. And the song is called Blessings. Maybe you've heard it. Blessings by Laura Story. She says, "We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for Your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while You hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. We pray for wisdom, Your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel You near. We doubt Your goodness, we doubt Your love, as if every promise from Your word is not enough. And all the while You hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have the faith to believe. 'Cause what if Your blessings come through raindrops? What if Your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know You're near? What if my greatest disappointment or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are really Your mercies in disguise?" The disciples came through this storm, and the Bible says that they were amazed at what they had seen about Jesus. And you see, that's the point of every storm, is to bring you to a place where you are amazed at the power and the glory and the love of God.